just on the weather as well. As you would have heard on 5AA of recent times, we've been discussing the Telethon South Australia Rivergum Home and Land Lottery, where you can support 15 charities, all who have their heart right here in SA. Your chance to win a stunning Rivergum home and beautiful Mount Barker at Seasons there. Of course, there's other prizes to be given away. You can get your tickets at telethon.com.au or from one of the participating charities. Help them out as well, and we're making hearts sing. One of those charities involved in the 2019 Telethon South Australian Home Lottery is a charity by the name of Second Chances. And we thought we should discuss that today and find out a little bit more about them, how we can help them out, and what exactly they do. The CEO, Helen Glanville, is here from Second Chances. Lovely to see you, Helen. Thank you for coming in.
Good to meet you too.
And we have one of the camp leaders, Montana, in here as well. Montana, thank you for coming in as well.
Thank you for having us.
Nice to see you. Now, Helen, let's walk us through Second Chances. Tell us about it.
Well, Second Chances SA is a South Australian charity.
Yep.
And we're 5 years old in February 2020. However, we've got a lot of experience in the whole arena of working with people who rub shoulders with the criminal justice system.
Right.
And so many times people who go to prison have families.
Yep.
And those families do time. And unfortunately, the children suffer because they carry the stigma often and the burden of having a mum or dad in prison. And that's not easy because they can get teased and bullied at school.
Yep.
We come along and try and keep them on track to finish their education, because the moment they start to truant is the moment the downslide. So we provide school uniforms and shoes. We do home visits to support mum and put the strength around that unit while dad's or mum's away.
Yep.
And in the meantime, we take them on what we call mentoring camps, PK, Prisons Kids Mentoring Camps.
Yep.
We do about 9 or 10 a year, and we teach them values, values such as respect for authority, trust, and keeping a focus on what is good and making good choices for their own life.
Yep. Now, it's interesting that, isn't it, because, Montana, this is where you come in, because you've not only been on the camp yourself, but now you're a camp leader.
Yes, I am.
Can you walk us through your journey and how that came about?
It really all started with a Christmas present, I believe. It was a little green bracelet. And then my mum filling out the form to be invited to the camps.
Yep.
And being put on the list. And my sister and I went to the camps. She only went to about 2 because she was 16, obviously. And I started when I was 15. I eventually got to start when I was about at the end of 16, the kids' camps.
Yep.
Because they have to have an age gap. And then as I got older, I just started going to the teen camps as well as a mentor.
Were you interested in going to the camps at first? Was it a daunting thing for kids to come into these camps, or was it something you embraced straight away?
As a kid, it was awkward. My sister was my biggest bully,
yeah,
and so it was hard for me. But when she left, I found a place. I made some of my closest friends there that I still talk to now. It became a family for me.
And now you're part of that family as a leader.
I'm very much part of that family now.
And I love that process of paying it forward, because that's what somebody did it for you, and now you're doing it for others.
That's what I try to do anyways.
Yeah. Can you walk us through the camps, Helen? So what's a camp look like?
A camp looks like a 48-hour experience where we collect the kids around about in the afternoon on a Friday and return them Sunday afternoon. And there's a lot of physical activity. So every camp is uniquely custom designed. So whether it's teen boys, teen girls or primary age, they could be doing kayaking, abseiling, you name it. I'm the girl that goes out and finds the moolah to finance these camps. They're not cheap, because we provide door-to-door transport.
Sure.
Because sometimes mum or dad aren't really on the same page for which day it is, and we want to make sure the child gets there.
Yes.
And we pay for all their accommodation and their food, and we make it dynamic and vibrant so that they actually are hungry to come back.
Yep.
But in particular, the boys' camps, we really make sure they use up some energy. It's very important to use energy.
Burn that energy off.
Indeed.
Is it a busy organisation, Second Chances? Is there a lot of kids that have been in similar situations to Montana?
Well, we have about 1,300 children on our secure database.
Wow.
For South Australia.
Really?
The Commissioner for Children and Young People has guesstimated that we have 4,000 children of prisoners in this state, but the academics interstate are saying there's 44,000 children of prisoners in this country.
That's a lot, isn't
Nobody's counting them. No federal prison system, so the feds aren't counting them.
Yep.
The state government, they have silos, as you know, and so when you are, if you were to be admitted into prison tomorrow, they don't automatically on their checklist say how many dependents have you left behind in the community. So sometimes these children are falling through the cracks.
Yep.
Grandma or grandpa might pick them up, neighbours, aunties, we know the stories.
Mm.
And, of course, then there's DCP because they become cared for by the state.
Yeah.
But the state is not counting. So until we get to a place where we actually are counting how many do we really have, and this is where, to be frank, the Commissioner for Children and Young People is actually submitting a report, and it should appear in Parliament, her annual report, but then a more thorough report, just to bring it to the attention of yep. government, because these kids are falling through the cracks.
Because we forget about that sometimes. People get arrested, people go to jail. We think, okay, that person's been put away for whatever reason. You kind of, a lot of us, wrongly, we'll just go, okay, well, that's done. We move on with our lives. We don't forget about what does that mean for the children of these people. And that's obviously where you guys come in.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we have family care workers. We have one in the north. We've divided Adelaide into north and south. The academics and the politicians actually know where we have postcodes, where there's a concentration of these particular families in every state, right across Australia.
Yep.
So we have divided Adelaide in our planning for north and south. And in addition, we've, for the last, because we were in this arena for 20 years with another national organisation, we've migrated out and become exclusively South Australian. But in that process, we've grown up for about 10 or 11 years now.
Yep.
So how long have we been? I'm her mother.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we grow up.
Yeah.
We grow up with these kids.
Montana, can you talk to the kids of Adelaide who are listening, or people that might be in a similar situation that you were once in? What does it mean for you, Second Chances SA? What would you say to the kids who are listening that might be in a similar situation?
Seek help.
Yep.
Seriously, seek help. I was one of the kids that fell through the gaps every time. Every time. My sister and I were just left. Or if they decided to take us, they left us in the fishbowl between visits or whatever for hours on end. No food, no water, kind of just sitting there.
Yep.
And then I found Second Chances and they helped me a lot. They put me on a good track to study further, to work harder, to pay forward, as you said.
Do you ever think what your life would be like without Second Chances? Do you ever
really rather not.
Yeah.
Because I fear it would turn out a hell of a lot like my other family.
Yep. What can we do, Helen? What can we do to help out Second Chances SA? And I know, obviously, this is what Telethon is all about. And is it purely funds?
Yes and no, in the sense that you can always do more because then you can hire more staff to do more. But funds that are used meaningfully, because we know the children, we need to take them shopping. You can't just with well-being officers and the Department of Education. And there's a whole range of things that people can do, but some people might like to consider, if they love leadership with action and activities, they might like to come and be interviewed as a potential camp leader.
Yep.
We call them mentoring camps because we want to speak into these kids' lives positively, that they can make good choices for their life and that they can have a future and a vision and move forward. And part of that, we felt that after we'd finished the teen camps, we felt we were losing connection. And so we went to the federal government and pleaded our case.
Mm.
And just this year, we've now started a new course called Getting Ready for Takeoff. And Getting Ready for Takeoff helps youth, PK, prisoners, kids, youth, all the way up to 25 with vocational training. So we will pay for all the obstacles and all the barriers that there are there to employment and finding a good vocation. For example, who is the responsible adult in their life to help them learn how to drive?
Yep.
So we'll pay for their driving lessons.
Well done.
How do you get to work without a car?
Of course.
So all of those things, and includes first aid training, some simple little confidence builders.
Yep.
So everyone needs first aid. Everyone needs some basic training. So we also sit them down and say, well, what do you really want to be? You know, whatever the obstacles were. So we have capacity to invest in their lives for TAFE courses, for whatever course they think, whether it be aged care or whatever, they can come to us. We have life coaches. We have a life coach in the south, life coach in the north,
yep.
and we'll speak well into their lives and encourage them and build them up. Many times these kids don't get that kind of encouragement and to believe in themselves, that they can be the best they can possibly be.
And here is a shining example of that. There is proof right there in the pudding.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So well done. Thank you so much for coming in, both of you. Helen Glanville, the CEO of Second Chances SA. Montana in there as well. The Telethon Lottery will help out. You can go to telethon.com.au or you can get your tickets there as well. And if people want to help you guys out, the lottery aside, and we love what the team do at Telethon, what do they do if they want to get in contact with you?
Well, let me just say, this is our first year. We've never been down this pathway before, but we do have a donate page on our website, secondchances.org.au. It's easy. But can I also just add that Montana's the first in her family to have finished Year 12 and go on to university.
Well done, Montana. What are you going to do?
Education and teaching.
Nice.
So physics, maths and design and technology.
So, see, giving forward, paying it forward, helping out the youth.
And it helps being a teacher on these camps because a lot of the kids, especially the older ones, bring homework and we help them.
It's great work that you're doing. Thank you so much. The website, Help Out, it is part of the Telethon SA Home Lottery, but Second Chances SA, find out more, donate, help out if you can. And as we say, Montana is a great example of what can happen and the great work that you're doing. Helen Glanville and Montana, my very special guest. Thank you, Tony. Great man, and well done. Support Telethon, telethon.com.au. Buy your tickets as well from the participating charities. And South Aussies, you can make your heart sing.